The thought tonight is, let not, and if you'll notice, it's in quotation, and then choices. I want to read the first scripture, which is found in John, St. John 14:1, says, let not your heart be troubled. Yes. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I'll stop there. Let not. How this thought came to me one morning, I believe it was, I was meditating on that scripture. I had read it. And I went on and I was, I think, making my bed. And the Lord just dropped the thought, let not is a choice. And I was it was just a new thought to me. And why it is a choice is because if we read the scripture again, let not your heart be troubled. I was very, had some things heavy on my heart at the time. And the Lord was letting me know that I have a choice. To let not my heart be troubled. If I choose, I could accept what the Lord said and be at peace. Or if I choose, I could stay in a state of worry, fretting, being concerned. And so I began to use the challenge that the Lord was giving me. And as I was going along and all those things that was on my heart, I was trying to make a conscious effort not to let them trouble me. Because he had it in his hands. He had the problem in his hands. And he's allowing me to be free of it if I would let him. But if I don't let him, I could just still be under the weight of the care that was on my heart. And then I kept meditating on this and meditating on it. I've been meditating on it for days, maybe over a week, I don't remember. But for a while. And after I got here, the Lord showed me that it extends to other areas of our lives. In this case, the Lord is saying, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry about this problem you have. It's in my hand. And don't you trouble about it. So it's up to you, Doris. It's up to you to not let it worry you. It's up to you to accept what I said. And so we think that God is such a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful God. He talks to our hearts. He wants to guide our lives in so many ways. And he presents things to us. He may give us instruction on different levels and different problems or directions, and he will say, let not. And yet we have the choice to do it or not to do it. You know, he doesn't force himself on us. Even when he made man and he gave them a command, he could have forced them to obey his command, but he didn't. He gave us a will. Yes. And if we can accept the things that the Lord gives us, the directions he gives us, the instruction he gives us, there will be a blessing in the end. It will have eternal blessings. See, the Lord deals in the eternal. We think our minds and our activities is in this life. But it can affect our eternal home. Yes. But the Lord, when he speaks, it's something eternal about it. So, for instance, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. This was Jesus. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Yes.
So we have a promise here. He not only told us not to be troubled, but he gave us something to look forward to, that he has a place for us. When the Lord tells us something, he has a purpose, and his purpose is not just for this life. And yet, it will help us in this life. But there is eternal value. For instance, if the Lord tells us not to fret, not to worry, if we just go on over that, we're gonna have some struggles that we wouldn't probably have. And maybe those struggles will be discouraging and lead us off the path. So we want to be faithful to follow the things that the Lord tells us. One, look at some choices, some let not choices, if you want to say it. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 15 and 7. And I do want someone to read for me. Said, be strong. Let not your hands be weak, for your works shall be rewarded. If we let not our hands be weak, we're going to have a reward in the end. So we can be strong. We have a challenge, but we have a privilege too, to be strong. And let not our hands be weak, as the scriptures say. And your work shall be rewarded. What a blessing that is. Let's go now to Jeremiah 9:23-24. So if we follow what the Lord is telling us to, he will guide us. You know, we can't really navigate through this life on our own. We might think we can, but we can't. We'll find ourselves going the wrong way because our minds, our human minds, will not always lead us the right way. It will make us, one thing may look real pretty and look like a good way to go and a good thing to do, and then when we do it, we find it's not. So we need his navigation. You know, sometimes we go, I'm kind of old school. I really don't honestly like GPS, but I use them. At one point, I thought me and the GPS just won't get along. But you know, I found out that sometimes, as much as I think I have a good memory of how to get from point A to point B, sometimes I need that GPS. Even if I don't want it. Well, it's just like that with the Lord. He's our navigation system. And we might think we'll know how to do things, but we need to listen to his direction. Because he will not fail. Now, the GPS will sometimes lead you in a... You ever had it lead you to a dead-end street? Or to, well, I've had it lead me to some places. I say, this is not. But God is not like that. He's going to give you perfect directions and perfect instruction. And you won't get to a dead-end street. And you won't end up in a field somewhere. Have you ever been, looked like nobody's around? How in the world did it get me here? But God is not like that.
That's right.
Read Jeremiah.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness
yes.
in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Don't glory in your wisdom. You think you're all wise. You be like going the wrong way and thinking you're going right. Don't glory in your riches. Those things will pass away. But we sure can glory in God.
That's right.
And trust in Him, and He will lead us the right way. So, God does not force us to do these things.
No, He doesn't.
But I'll tell you, there are consequences to not doing it. If we choose, we can make the right choice and go God's way and follow His instruction, His directions, and we're going to reap the benefits of what God has to give to us. You know, He loves us. He has great benefits for us. You know, sometime when I was working, we had insurance, we had benefit packets. We could choose this packet or the other packet. But you know what? When we choose God, we have chose the best benefit package you can get. Amen. These others, they may have shortcomings, because sometimes when you choose them and then afterwards you see, maybe I should have chose another one, because this doesn't work quite like I want, or that doesn't work quite like I want. But when it comes to the Lord, He's the best benefit package, and everything will be all right.
Amen.
What was that song about? The God of all comfort. Speaks peace to your soul, and it's in that song it says everything will be all right. We can know that everything will be all right if we choose to follow the Lord. We have a choice. He's sure not going to make us, but we want to be faithful to accept what He says. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. And
yes.
Don't let, this is one of those, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them. Truth is His word, isn't it? So we don't want to let that, we don't want to forsake those things. We want to hold them tight and let them, bind them about our neck. Let them be a part of what I do and believe and hold to. You know, sometimes you can just hold to some things. People have different ideas, and they hold tight to those ideas. We need to turn loose our ideas, but hold tight to the truth, because we will have great success. And it says, at the end of that, it says what?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding.
Yes.
In all thy ways acknowledge Him,
yes.
And He shall direct thy path.
Yes. He is going to direct our path. And we will find that God's way is best. Now, I might have told you all this. I don't know. I think I did. But one time I was traveling. If you remember, there was a time when I was coming every month. And I was traveling from Dallas then. I was living there. And I would get to Sister Cheryl's. And I would go like that. Saturday, and then I spend the night, and then I get up and come here. This particular time, I was in a hurry, and I think I was tired of driving, whatever. And I got ready to turn off to go to her house, and he came to me, "Get your gas tonight." And I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I just didn't want to stop. And I just said, you know, in the morning, I could just get up in the morning earlier and get my gas. Well, the next morning I got up, I think a little later than I expected. And I had some rushing to do to try to get here. And then I remembered that God brought this scripture to me about lean not to thy own understanding, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own. That was a big lesson to me. And so sometimes our human wisdom will make us think, you know, it's okay, you don't have to do that right now, or maybe it's not going to hurt. It was nothing that you could say was sin. Could you say not getting gas at night was sin? You wouldn't measure that up as sin. And so you feel like, you know, I could wait till tomorrow. But God knew what was ahead of me. And so all of us, if we can just make the choice of following God's directions, we'll be better off. Let's go to John 14 and 27. Same scripture, same chapter in John we started with. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. But then in the 27th verse, somebody, if you can get it before I
appreciate
it.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Let not. That chapter started with let not your heart be troubled, and down in there it was saying my peace. So, see, if we let not our heart be troubled, what is he giving us? He's giving us peace. Yes. He wants us to have peace. We can have peace if we will listen to him and neither let it be afraid. In this case, I was almost afraid of how things were going to work because it didn't really look good. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. I can give you peace. You can be at peace, and I'm working. I'm working on this. You be at peace, and I'll be working for you. And this is what he wants. It's so many advantages, so many blessings. I think we sometimes don't realize the benefits of following the Lord's will, choosing to do his will. Because remember, he's not going to make us. He's not going to, I've heard somebody say, hog tie us and make us do it. But he'll tell us in such a gentle way. When it says, let not, isn't that a gentle way to tell you? And he does. He tells us these things. And we can reap all the benefits of the peace that he wants us to have. He has so much for us if we will just follow him. Of course, there are consequences if we don't. Like my consequence with that, not getting that gas, was it was a push that morning for me to get here. And you know something? I had to ask the Lord. I said, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I should have listened. Forgive me. Sometimes we have to ask the Lord to forgive us. Sometimes we get caught up in what we think is the right way.
Right.
And we it's not. We have to depend on him. Let's go to Proverbs now, 24:17-18.
Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. Lest the Lord see him and displace him, and he turn away his wrath from him.
See, yes, he says, this is another let not. Don't be happy when somebody, your enemy falls. When something happens to some, God won't be very pleased with us if we do it. We have that kind of attitude. You know, in the world, they say karma, don't they? And they say, you know, they haven't, this is happening to them. Because look how they treated me. Look how they acted toward me. Look how they did me. And now they having problems. That's karma. I've heard that. But, you know, the Lord said, rejoice not. It's so many things in the scripture. He tells us, let not. And this is one of them. We don't want to take an attitude toward our enemy. In fact, we should have compassion and mercy and want God to give them mercy, even if they have been our enemy, even if they are not doing the right thing to us. But then I began to think about this word, let not, and I began to think of how that, what would be the first thing that we need to deal with? If we're going to follow the Lord, it said, let not. What is the first thing we need to deal with? And I thought about it. We need to deal with sin. You know the message this morning? First, we need to start right there where it comes to sin and get rid of the sin business. That is let not. And let's go to Romans, and let's read verse 6, verses 12 to 14. This is the first thing we do. There are a lot of things in the scripture that the Lord directs us. But the first thing, you cannot please God with sin in your life. You know, I don't know, no matter how good, people do a lot of good things, but if we have sin in our lives, God is not pleased, and there's no relationship with God when it comes to sin. Sin turns him away from us, and we must completely recognize that that's not something we can carry with us.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body,
yes,
that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yoke ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yoke yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Yes.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen. So let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. I was thinking about when we have vacation Bible school. Every single time we have it, my burden is to make sure the children, among other things, understand that they cannot live in sin to please God. Sin is, the sin business has to be gotten rid of. And it's good for them to know. They don't have to wait till they get grown and know. They need to know as children, what is sin? What sin is? What sin will do for you? Get rid of the sin. Don't let it dwell in your body. Yes. Don't have any parts with it. Hate it. It's ugly. It's nothing good about it. It's not even funny. Some children think certain things are funny, but sin is not. It's not a thing to play with. Okay, and then he gives us many other choices, many other things we have to do. He wants us to respect him. We need to honor God. We need to walk in his ways, obey his commandments, live a holy life and a righteous life. These are things that he says many times in the scripture. You'll see over and over again, let not. But these are the things we want to make sure that we don't let ourselves do anything that displeases the Lord. And then he wants us to be humble.
That's right.
We shouldn't let ourselves indulge in pride or prideful behaviors. Not even so much to encouraging in others, you know. Let's go to 1 Samuel 2 and 3.
Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed.
Do you remember there's a scripture says, it's in Isaiah, that that says the high and lofty one. I can't get all, but it said he walks with the humble. You know, pride turns, God hates pride. So we don't need to let that be a part of our lives. Not talk prideful or any of those things. Or even in one scripture it says, don't even flatter others and try to, you know, encourage pride in them. This is something that the Lord would not want us to do. Did you find that scripture?
For thus saith the high and lofty one, amen, that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Is that what you want to
say? Yes.
To revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one.
He's not going to be with you. He won't be with any of us if we are proud. So we don't need to nourish or encourage that kind of behavior. That's, and let's go to Proverbs 27 and 2. God is the one that's high and lofty, and we need to honor him as such. But we're nothing but dust, and we need to keep a humble spirit and an humble attitude.
Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips.
Yes. So you see how that he said, let another man praise thee, not your own mouth. So we don't want to be proud. And I think we can just move on from there. I just want us to see that this is one of those let nots that the Lord doesn't want. Let's go to Galatians 5 and 26.
Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Don't even desire to glory, give you praise and honor. Let not. So we can be encouraged to be of a humble attitude and of a humble mind. The last scripture I want to go over is Galatians 6 and 9.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Think about it. The last thing, above all, let us be faithful in God's service.
Yes.
And we're going to reap if we faint not. If we go God's way, if we follow him, and if we listen to what he says, we're going to reap what the good and the blessing. And finally, we're going to reap eternal life.
Amen.
So pray for me.